Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional from Bahrain, Shreya Ram Mohan. Shreya, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Shreya is the co-founder and chief marketing officer of Playbook. So Shreya, before we start talking about Playbook, tell me in brief a little bit about your own journey.
Wow. Brief is always the tough one. But I think it's been a very interesting one. Lots of interesting pivots. And mm-hmm. I think you might be hearing that from a lot of other young entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. No one really signs up to becoming an entrepreneur. It kind of happens to you along mm-hmm. the way. You find a problem that you want to solve, and then you decide that this is what you want to dedicate the rest of your mm-hmm. time towards, your efforts towards. I started out, actually, if I could dial it back a little bit. So I've been born and raised in Bahrain, which is mm-hmm. in the Middle East, for those who aren't aware. We're a small island country, mm-hmm. but a very phenomenal country in its own right. Beautiful mix of people, you know, expatriates and locals, and we work very closely together with each other. So mm-hmm. I'm very much at home in Bahrain. And despite that, I went to India to study because mm-hmm. I wanted to connect with my cultural roots. And so when I was in India, I think I got such an amazing exposure to just mm-hmm. infinite possibilities. You know, when you're in a small pond, there's a chance that you may kind of not dream big and think big. And mm-hmm. when I was in India, I mean, I was just in the middle of so many thinkers, dreamers, doers, mm-hmm. and I craved for more for myself. Mm-hmm. And when I came back to Bahrain to work, I didn't want to settle for anything less. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd already gotten a bite of what that was, and mm-hmm. I wanted more of it. So I did start out in management consulting for 2.5 years, mm-hmm. and I was great at it. And it was amazing to see, like, as a 21-year-old, I was able to speak to people who had maybe the years of experience that my age was, mm-hmm. And consult them on, you know, best practices and processes and research that, mm-hmm. you know, my teams had, like, worked on, mm-hmm. That could address problems in their companies. Mm-hmm. And I realized that even though I was good at it, I really was pulled towards marketing. And so I started sending my CV out to almost every agency out there. Mm-hmm. And I was on a mission. And eventually I came across a company that I felt I really wanted to be a part of their story. It was a young entrepreneur who was doing something incredible with her team as a young Bahraini, and she had won Startup of the Year. And I decided, you know, why not? Let me give it a shot and let me apply. I got in with that company. I continued to work with that company for 6 years. Mm-hmm. A phenomenal entrepreneur, ended up becoming one of the biggest mentors in my life. Mm-hmm. And now I'm very proud to say that she is my business partner.
Amazing.
6 years later, where we are with Playbook.
And as they say, the rest is history. So
the rest is history, or it's the future that's coming up.
Absolutely. So let's now talk about Playbook, which you say is an award-winning membership network that accelerates career growth for women at every level of leadership. Tell me about Playbook and what was the motivation to start it?
Great. Playbook was something that we decided upon, I would say, in 2021, mm-hmm. early 2021. Mm-hmm. However, the seeds for it were sown, I would say, back in 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. The reason behind us creating Playbook was, like I mentioned, Wafa, who mm-hmm. was the CEO of the agency that I was working at, she mm-hmm. was being invited to, you know, attend delegations from the country, whether mm-hmm. it was at the World Economic Forum or whether it was in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. And just being exposed to a lot of different conversations around gender equality, parity, diversity. Mm-hmm. And when she attended the specific forum at the World Economic Forum, mm-hmm. It really didn't sit well with her mm-hmm. because she came back to us and, you know, was very restless about the information that she'd gotten. And mm-hmm. it made us all restless at the agency mm-hmm. as well, as her team, as her core team. She told us about how it would take 257 years for us to bridge the global gender gap. Wow. And the fact that 7 out of 10 of the countries with the widest gender gaps was coming out of the MENA region. That, I mean, just let that sink in. That's telling you that there's a lot of work to be done.
Correct.
And back in 2017, yeah, I would say. And we were just an agency. Like, what did we have to do to kind of like solve this problem that seemed to be faced by a lot of women? And we found it very relatable as to all the other data that started pouring in. And so we kind of let her lead the way into convincing us to do an offline event. And we set our bar very low, in the sense, now that we look back, we think it's very low, because we said, oh, if we get 500 women to show up, and let's just learn from each other, let's learn from each other's experiences, let's talk about more stories that are coming out of this region and see where this goes. And we started building something called the Women Power Summit. And we launched it in 2018. It was just a two-day event. And we tried to make it as action-packed as we could. And we said, can this be the dream school that we didn't get?
Yeah.
The school that we would have loved going to, the school that we would, the teachers that we would have loved learning from, real-world experiences. On the first day of that event, 1,800 people showed up. They flew, they drove, they just came out of nowhere. And we hadn't really marketed to that extent, but it was amazing how word of mouth spread and people were coming in from across the region. So forward from there, for 3 years, we did this. We committed to doing it. We grew a network of over 10,000 women. We raised, like, in revenue, over $500,000. We were able to make partnerships with corporates from across the region, over like, I want to say close to 300 partnerships, and people were sending their delegations to us. And then we said, you know, we're definitely hitting something here. COVID hits. And everything gets disrupted. And us youngsters today, like, disruption has been, I think, a very part and parcel of our upbringing. So we don't kind of like take it lying down. We try to figure out, you know, what's the next thing that we can do? What's the next pivot? Because the world's still going to go on. And these problems are still going to exist. So how do we work around it? So we started a podcast. Wafa led a podcast that did really well. It was, we kept the conversation going. I personally started a reading community. If you can tell, I love reading books.
I can see that.
Core value of like my upbringing. And so was it for her. And everyone kept telling us, listen, the content you're creating speaks to us. It's authentic, it's honest, but we want to be able to go back to it each time. We want to be able to open it whenever we want. We want to be able to share it with our teams. And that got us thinking. Now, none of us are necessarily like what I would call tech entrepreneurs, but we said, okay, what can we do to still make this work? So we kind of put our minds together. We started thinking, brainstorming, coming up with the idea. And that's how Playbook came to be. Like, over 300 women kept saying something to us, which stuck with us, which was, they said, the playbook to success for women was very different from the playbook to success for men. Not to take away from their pain points or what men have to go through to get to leadership positions, but just kind of identify and clarify that it's not the same linear path. Very different pain points being faced by both genders. And that's why we created Playbook. And our intention is to support every level of leadership and help them kind of realize their own potential. If that makes sense.
Fascinating. And based on all, you know, your Women's Power Summit, and we'll see if you can talk a little more about that. But based on all your interactions, what are some of the challenges and the gaps that you are trying to fill with Playbook?
I think there's a lot. It's multifaceted. So I don't know how familiar everyone is with the Middle East. We are definitely a region that is up and coming. It's shifting in economies. There was a lot of oil dependency, but now it's moving towards startups. It's moving towards fintech. It's moving towards tech in general. Lots of emerging professions coming out. But women are heavily underrepresented in it. And so we have a dilemma, which is on the technical side of skill sets, which is women aren't being pushed towards STEM roles. So you don't see women engineers, you don't see women coming into anything that is remotely in that space, very few numbers. So, you know, societal constructs tell them that maybe this is not the kind of job you want to do. You know, you don't want to be the only woman in the room. And on the other side, you have other challenges, which could be, for example, a lot of women choose to take a maternity gap for the health and well-being of themselves, but also for their child. And unfortunately, when they try to re-enter the workforce, it's very challenging because the way that recruitment works, even though it may not be a straightforward denial towards the woman, it doesn't fare well for them when they're being benchmarked against someone who may have been accumulating experience over the years that the woman was out of the workforce. Beyond that, it's a lot of soft skills. So leadership, emotional intelligence, you know, the ability to lead teams and work with them. Those are a lot of the challenges that we're seeing women face for them to be recognized for leadership positions. And in a country like Saudi Arabia, women just recently started entering the workforce in large numbers.
Okay.
Because the Crown Prince has mandated as part of their Vision 2030 to create 1 million jobs for women.
Fabulous. Now,
you have women coming into the workforce, which is wonderful, so increased workforce participation. But at the same time, they don't have representative role models to look up to in their field because it's always been a male figurehead. And for them to also learn from other women how to mediate conversations has been very challenging. So they're really looking for a support system, a community to back them, a community to fall back on, but also to learn from the playbook of women who've done it. And that's really, in essence, what we are now putting together in a, I would say, a more consolidated platform where people can get a masterclass library of the playbook of women who've been able to achieve it in Arabic and in English. So that's a huge part of it. So the language barrier is also a really big part of it. The cultural societal background is also a big part of it. So we're not consuming Western content. We're consuming content of women in the context of the society that they're living in. Plus they get to access mentors, job boards, micro communities, you know, the ability to network and build their own personal brand, which they're not necessarily given, I would say, the space to do.
Oh, fabulous. You know, I've had two conversations with incredible, or more than two, three conversations with incredible Arab women. One is, of course, Suzy Kanu from Bahrain. I know her very well. Maybe. She's a YPO.
She's a master on playbook as well.
Okay,
terrific. I've done a playbook with her on leading a family business.
Wonderful. And then with Muna Al-Gurg from the UAE, and I'm sure you know her.
Muna is the founding member at Playbook as well.
There you are. So I seem to have a special affiliation with Playbook now that I'm speaking to the co-founder also. But moving on, Shreya, how, you know, you spoke about library, creating a library, creating content. You're also building strong networks. Tell me, how are you creating these networks and how are they benefiting your members?
Sure. So I think with networks and networking, you know, a lot of it suddenly turns into a gray area, right? So not everybody understands networking in the essence that it should be. Now, what do I mean by that? We emphasize a lot to our community and our network about meaningful connections. You set the intention going into networking. Now, I could easily have met, you know, thousands of people over my lifetime, and I could have their contact numbers and I could have them on my phone, but are they really my network? My network has to be classified with intention, which is, who are the people that I can go to for certain forms of advice? Who are the people that I can reach out to? Who are the people that I can support? So you're creating very different networking circles, I would say. And so what we're trying to do is also guide people on how to effectively network. So statistically, women don't tend to reach out because they have a mindset that maybe they need to be officially introduced to somebody for networking to take place. They're usually on the back foot in a networking meet, you know, if it's an official gathering. And so they need like an additional urge or push towards connecting with somebody. What we're trying to do is build self-confidence, get people to try and have an initial conversation, set those intentions, follow up and follow through on those intentions, and be both a giver and receiver in that context, because it's a relationship, it's a two-way conversation.
Correct.
And so everything that we do in the community, it's all about how can you support someone and what would you like someone to support you with? So there is a beautiful balance in the give and take that's happening between each members. And I think that's what multiplies, and that's where people feel a lot more comfortable building relationships. So I've been in client relationship management for close to 7 years, and I still continue to believe that I am in client relationship management even today as an entrepreneur. But I think what I've learned the most is how much it matters to make emotional deposits in any relationship that you, or any conversation that you're even striking, because you never know where down the line this could actually support you or help you with the problem that you are facing.
Well said, well said. You know, and I have often said, you know, I work with a lot of women colleagues in my life, and I've often said, and I'm going to say it again on the show, that I've always believed the work ethics of women is significantly higher and better than the other half of the population. So
I would love to say yes.
No, I'm making that statement, but I'm not asking you to say.
I think you have something over there for sure. Absolutely. I think that's something that we've also personally experienced.
Correct. And I'm giving you this based on my own experience.
Yeah.
But we are moving on now, you know, Playbook must be addressing women across age groups. When I speak to you, and you're probably you know, a young millennial or a Gen Z yourself, how do you see the needs of the millennial and Gen Z leaders as compared to the older leaders who probably have a little more baggage that they're carrying because of legacies?
You've really hit the nail on this one. And that's why this is such a complex business. You know, whenever someone asks us to pitch, when someone asks us to explain our business to them and really the problem that we're solving, it always gets us to rethink our answer each time, because it's not an easy problem. Each age group has a very different, you know, I would say pain point that we're trying to address, right?
Right.
So when it comes to the older generation, now, if they are acclaimed, experienced, the Susies, the Munnas, what their experience could benefit to other people who are just starting out is where they see the connect with being with us, because it's part of their legacy. They want to build a legacy where they give back, where no one has to struggle as hard as they have to struggle to get to where they got. On the other end, you have the new generation that's coming in. So I am a millennial, definitely coming into my 30s. But even the Gen Zers, even the early millennials, even people my age, I think we've done the grind. We've been grateful to our parents for really giving us security for us to be able to make decisions today about what aligns with us. What do we want to commit to for the rest of our lives? How can we have a more balanced life, I would say, with our families and with work? When I say work-life balance as well, I think it's work-life harmony more than balance. I think it has to interweave with one another.
Yeah.
And for that, you need to get Gen Zers and the younger generation to really fall in love with the work that they're doing, because then they won't feel like work. And for that, they need it to be real. They need it to be authentic. They need the people that they're reporting to, the businesses that they're working with, the conversations that they're having, and the problems that they're solving to be genuine problems, to be authentic conversations, to be honest career plans and promises that are being fulfilled upon. And then they'll give their heart and soul to it. And that's why you will find a really excited, hardworking workforce that is ready out there. India has one of the youngest ones, and they're really gearing up to take on the world, I would say. Even the Middle East has a very large population of youngsters that are ready to do so. It's just a matter of like bringing them together and finding that purpose. So this is where I would say, you know, the conversations are going for them.
Fascinating. Shreya, I have time for two more questions.
Sure.
My next question is on culture. As you mentioned, when your colleague came back from a World Economic Forum and she was horrified to see in 247 years, there'll be equity and seven of the 10 countries was in MENA. What is your perspective of culture impacting the ability of half the world to be able to network? Because the world is losing out a lot when half the world does not get the same opportunities.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, if I can maybe zero in on the Middle East construct, when women don't participate, global economies, regional economies, they suffer, actually. And they lose out on economic growth that could have otherwise served the population in a much better way. And in turn, everyone gets a win-win, right? So in our region alone, PwC recently did a survey where they said that if women were to participate in larger numbers, not even equal, just larger numbers into the workforce, then it could add $2.8 trillion to the GDP in this region.
In the region.
In the region. And then if you think about this on the global scale, again, I'm trying to recall, it could have been McKinsey or it could have been another one of the big fours that had researched that $28 trillion would be added to the global economies if we actually participated in equal numbers. Now, participation could mean different things. And when you talk about culture and society, you know, there are people who choose to stay home, which is perfectly fine. There are people who choose not to participate in the economy in the, I would say, conventional way of participation. But they would still like to participate in raising the future generation. They would like to participate in maybe doing a side hustle, in doing something that is on a smaller construct. Now, in this region, networking is a little bit limited for women because there is a societal and I would say cultural barriers towards, say, us showing up with an investor for dinner tonight or hanging out over drinks. That's not going to happen in this part of the world because it's a very small community and we do not necessarily encourage that. So we need to give them other outlets for them to be able to network and still thrive, because we've spoken to CEOs, we've spoken to a lot of really high level women who have told us that sometimes they would show up to work, decisions would be made at the office, and then suddenly the next morning, the decision has completely changed or new decisions have been added on because a conversation took place where they were not allowed to be a part of that conversation. It could have happened in a majlis, it could have happened, you know, at a dinner party or at, you know, a bar, but it's something that they've been left out of because of societal, cultural constraints.
Absolutely fascinating. And my last question to you, and this is for the many, many young men and women who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own experience and building playbook and interacting with so many people, what would you say are three takeaways you would want our women listeners to take away from your experience and our conversation?
So
all listeners.
I think all listeners. Yeah. By the way, I mean, today we're building for women because there's a priority and a need for women, right? We do have men who are wonderful allies and who support us on our journey and who are also on our community and our network.
Absolutely.
And I think that this advice is maybe applicable to everybody. There's one thing that, you know, we as women tend to do, but also, like, I want to tell this to the younger generation, just try to put yourself out there a lot more. Don't overthink before applying for a job or an opportunity. Try and grab it by the labels. Try to put yourself out there. Try to, you know, test out different opportunities. You never know. Today your career is something, tomorrow it could be something else.
Correct.
Be open and flexible towards it. Another thing that I feel is a general mindset challenge that people have is there's a lack of abundance. And I think it's so important for us to all have an abundance mindset. You know, everyone tries to shelter and hide their ideas and not share and talk, and like, it's only me and it can only be me at the table. But really, like, Why not just build a bigger table? Why not create new tables? Why not try and bring everybody together? You know, it's great. Like our business, we're not reinventing the wheel, Ashutosh. Like we are doing something that a lot of other companies are doing in different regions, and they're addressing it from a localized perspective. But we're all trying to solve and work towards the same mission. So like we have an abundance mindset towards that. We're not, you know, trying to compete on those levels. And I think the third thing would be, try to always lean into the role that you want to get. You know, do the job before you actually get it, because you're signaling to your management, to your superiors, or whoever it is that you're reporting to, that you're the person for the job, that you are capable of taking care of those roles and responsibilities.
Fabulous.
Don't just wait to be handed over.
Absolutely wonderful. Shrey, on that note, and your three amazing lessons, put yourself out, and you know, don't overthink. Have an abundance mindset. Share as much as possible, and do the job before you get it. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about Playbook and the incredible work that you are doing for women. I mean, I'm sure it'll go beyond MENA and the Middle East into other parts of the world because of the work you are doing. Thank you again for talking to me about so many amazing initiatives you seem to be taking through Playbook.
Thank you.
Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.